Thursday, November 16th, 12 o'clock. Mr. Rice's fifth reply. Mr. President, my worthy friend seems disposed to keep us in terror of that host of pedo-baptists whose concessions he threatens to bring forward. I know them, and therefore am not at all alarmed. When he produces them, they will be attended to. In the meantime, I feel quite at ease. If he can find any two of them who sustain the doctrine for which he is contending, I will acknowledge that I had not heard of them. But I pledge myself to give him the concessions of immersionists in return, of Greek immersionists, who well understood the language. The gentleman says he has not taken back one single assertion he has made. This I'm not so well able to understand. In the early part of this discussion, he told us that specific words retaining the leading syllable never lose their original meaning, that whenever you find bap, as in bapto, you find the action of dipping. I produced several examples from the classics in which bapto is used, where, in the nature of the case, there could be no dipping. What was his reply? These examples, he said, were irrelevant, because bapto is not the word in debate. This appeared to me very much like giving up the argument from bapto. Yet he says he has not changed his ground. He at first informed us that the lexicons were the highest authority by which the meaning of the words in controversy could be determined. And now he is going to prove that they are all wrong. Well, if he should prove that all the lexicographers have erred, he will do a great work. I still believe they have defined the words correctly, and I have proved, not only by the modern lexicons, but by the most ancient, of whose authority my friend spoke so highly, that baptizo signifies to wash, cleanse, as well as sink, plunge, etc. But if Mr. Campbell has not given up the argument from the word bapto, why has he not attempted to reply to the argument against his position founded on several quotations from the classics? When the coloring fluid drops onto the garments, baptitai, they are dyed. Here is the bap, but where is the dip? Will my friends say, when the fluid drops upon the garments, they are immersed? Where was the immersion when the Indians dyed their beards? Mr. Campbell thinks the termination zo in the word baptizo expresses the rapidity of the action, and he supposes that the Savior selected this word in preference to bapto for that particular reason, that bapto may signify sinking to the bottom, and hence baptizo, expressing the idea of raising out of the water, was preferred. But Carson admits that baptizo does not express the raising of the thing immersed out of the water. The word, says he, has no reference to what follows the immersion, and whether the thing immersed lies at the bottom or is taken up cannot be learned from the word, but from the connection and circumstances, page 91. That it is constantly used by the classics in the sense of sinking to the bottom, I am prepared to prove. I'll give a few examples. Diodorus Siculus, speaking of the sinking of animals in water, says, when the water overflows, many of the land animals, baptizo menu, sunk in the river, perish. Strabo, speaking of the lake near Agrigentum, says, things which otherwise will not swim do not sink, baptizatai, in the water of the lake, but float like wood. Again, speaking of the Lake Serbon, he says, if a man goes into it, he cannot sink, baptizatai, but is forcibly kept above. I might quote many other examples, but really, I deem it unnecessary. Josephus, who sought to imitate the classic Greek, uses the word repeatedly to signify the sinking of ships, the drowning of persons, etc. It is then certain that baptizo is constantly used by the classics in the sense of sinking. That this, in the examples supposed to favor immersion, is its common meaning. It is not true, therefore, that the Savior selected this word because it expressed putting in and taking out of the water quickly, for it does not at all express the action of raising out of the water. Yet this is as essential to baptism by immersion as the putting under, the latter being supposed to represent the burial of Christ, and the former his resurrection. The gentleman tells us that, according to an established rule of language, the definition, if substituted for the word defined, will make good sense. Let us apply this rule, substituting the word sink, the common classical meaning, for the word baptizo. John did sink in the wilderness and preached the sinking of repentance. He that believeth and is sunk shall be saved. Or, as our friends say, baptizo means to plunge. Perhaps Mr. Campbell would prefer that word. John did plunge in the wilderness and preached the plunging of repentance. He that believeth and is plunged shall be saved. You see, my friends, the substitution for these words for baptizo makes the scriptures speak nonsense. So according to my friend's own rule, it is impossible that baptizo, as used to denote Christian baptism, can mean to sink or plunge, yet these are some of its classical meanings. His own rule, therefore, destroys his argument. Baptizo, as used in the Bible, is a generic term, and it will not answer to substitute a specific term in its place. There is no great difference, my friend would have us believe, between the baptism of the Roman general's hand in order to write on a trophy and immersion. Well, if I, in baptizing an individual, come as near immersing him as the general did immersing his hand in his blood, will Mr. Campbell consider him baptized? He will not. And yet he has brought forward this very example to prove that baptizo always means to immerse. He did not, however, attempt to immerse the blister plaster in breast milk in Egyptian ointment, and it was well he did not, for all the doctors would have risen up against him. The gentleman read Blackstone to prove that the usual and most known signification of words should be preferred, and to this rule I by no means object. But I contend that the usual and most known meaning of baptizo as used among the Jews in relation to their religious rites is to wash, to cleanse. But we are told that all the lexicographers prefer immerse as the primary and literal meaning. Now let me turn your attention to Robinson. He gives its general meaning to immerse, sink, spoken of ships, galleys, etc. But the very first meaning he gives in it in the New Testament is to wash, to cleanse by washing. Bretschneider gives the original meaning sepius intingo sepens lavo, often to dip, often to wash. And the first meaning he gives it, as used in the New Testament, is lavo abluo simpliciter, simply to wash, to cleanse. Greenfield divines it in the same way. Now, my friend says, all the lexicographers prefer immerse as the primary meaning of this word. Will he please to produce one who gives immerse as its primary meaning as it was used by the Jews or as it is used in the Bible? I am for taking the primary and literal meaning of the word as employed by the people amongst whom and for whom the ordinance was instituted, not the common meaning as used by another people speaking a different idiom in relation to entirely different subjects. And in this I am sustained by all the best critics. There is no rule which requires us to take the original meaning of a word in preference to every other. Etymology, as Ernesti says, is an uncertain guide. Language is perpetually changing, and words are constantly acquiring new meanings. I might admit that the original meaning of baptizo was to immerse, and then prove that before the time when it was applied by our Savior to the ordinance of baptism, it had amongst the Jews acquired a different meaning. The word prevent, as I have before remarked, originally meant to come before, but now it means to hinder. It is the meaning in common use at the time when the ordinance was appointed, as Blackstone says, the general and popular use that is to be taken in preference to any other. I perfectly agree, therefore, with Blackstone, Vitringa, and Turrentine, as quoted by my friend Mr. Campbell. We come now to the translators, ancient and modern. The gentleman has greatly magnified their authority, and I hope he will not hereafter fall out with them. They, he tells us, knew the difference between the Jewish and classic usage. I'm happy to see the translations brought forward, for I am prepared to prove that they, at least the great majority of them, did not translate the word baptizo to immerse. Possibly some two or three may have done so, but certainly the most ancient and valuable, as well as the most respectable of modern date, did not. I have examined a goodly number of these translations, and I am prepared to prove what I affirm. I will begin with the old Peshitto Syriac, the oldest and one of the best translations in the world. The gentleman asserts and has repeatedly published that no translator, ancient or modern, ever translated baptizo or any of that family of words by the word sprinkle. This I deny, and I am prepared to disprove. By the way, the gentleman told you that I would very probably give you Dr. Beecher's dissertation on purification. Unfortunately, I have never read it. I sent for the work but failed to procure it, so I must forego the pleasure of giving you Beecher's dissertation. But let us briefly examine into the truth of this bold assertion of my friend. He says no translator, ancient or modern, ever rendered baptizo or any of that family by the word sprinkle. Now, the old Peshitto Syriac, of which he has spoken so favorably, has translated bapto to sprinkle. Here is the book itself. It looks old and venerable. And I will give the translation by Schaff and Lusden, whose edition I have, as a reference, as the audience could not understand the Syriac. Revelations 19:13. And he was clothed with a garment sprinkled with blood. The Vulgate, translated by Jerome, who I presume immersed thrice in baptizing, expresses the passage in the same manner. He was clothed with a vesture sprinkled with blood. The passage doubtless has reference to the 63rd chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, in which Christ is represented going forth as a mighty conqueror against his enemies. For, says he, I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Verse 3. Here we have two of the oldest and most valuable translations in the world translating the word bapto, just as my friend Mr. Campbell asserts that no one ever did translate it. Origen, too, the most learned of the Greek fathers, was unwise enough to fall into the same error, if indeed it be an error. He, as Dr. Gale in his Reflections on Wall's History of Infant Baptism informs us in quoting the passage in Revelations 19:13, almost verbatim, puts rantizo for bapto. How ignorant of the Greek language Origen must have been if the views of Mr. Campbell are correct. From the fact that these old and valuable versions translate bapto to sprinkle in this passage, and from the fact that Origen, given the substance of the passage, substitutes rantizo for bapto, Dr. Gale concludes that there must have been a different reading and that those men had a copy of the New Testament having rantizo instead of bapto. Mr. Carson, however, differs from him decidedly on this subject. After stating Dr. Gale's reasons for supposing that there was a different reading, he remarks, "These reasons, however, do not in the least bring the common reading into suspicion in my mind, and I will never adopt a reading to serve a purpose." This is a noble resolution. Misapprehension of the meaning of the passage, it is much more likely has substituted erantismenon for bebemenon, page 37. So it would seem, according to Mr. Carson, Origen, the learned Greek father, did not understand his vernacular tongue. And those learned translators, who did the very thing my friend said no one ever did, could not ascertain the meaning of the word bapto, though the Greek was then a living language spoken all around them. Unless we can believe that they were ignorant of the meaning of bapto, we are obliged to believe that in their day it was used in the sense of sprinkling. It has not been my object to prove that bapto and baptizo definitely express the idea of sprinkling or pouring. I maintain that, as used in the Bible and in the religious writings of the Jews, it expresses the thing done, the application of water to a subject. But the connection and circumstances must determine the precise mode of doing it, whether by pouring, sprinkling, or dipping. I am prepared to meet my friend on the translations and to prove that they are by no means favorable to the doctrine for which he is contending. I have said as much as I intended in reply to his argument. I will now turn your attention to the meaning of bapto and baptizo as they are used in the Bible and in the religious writings of the Jews. Bapto, as used in the Bible, sometimes expresses a partial dipping or wetting, as in Leviticus 14:6 and 7, where the priest was directed to kill a bird and then take a living bird in cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop and dip them in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. Bapto is here used, and everyone knows that it was impossible to immerse these things into the blood of one bird. It evidently here signifies a partial dipping or wetting. Indeed, in all the instances in which bapto occurs in the Bible, there are not more than four or five where it expresses an immersion. It generally expresses a partial dipping, a wetting, or smearing. In Exodus 12 and 22, it signifies wetting or smearing. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. This may answer as a specimen. I will produce other passages if necessary. In this passage, the Septuagint has the expression, "Ye shall dip from," or more properly, "wet by means of the blood." A similar expression occurs in Leviticus 14 and 17. "And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord." And in verse 16, "The priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand," etc. In both of these passages, the expression is, "he shall dip from." Does my friend immerse from the water? The meaning of the word here evidently is to wet or smear by means of the fluid. If a dipping or immersion had been intended, the writer would have used the preposition "eis" in "to" instead of "apo" "from." Bapto signifies simply to wet or bedew, as is evident from Daniel 4:33. "The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet, ebaphe, with the dew of heaven." Precisely the same expression occurs in the following chapter, verse 21. Now everybody knows how this baptism was performed. "His body was wet from," ebaphe, apo, "the dew." Or will my friend say his body was immersed from dew? Dr. Gale attempted to escape the difficulty by saying Nebuchadnezzar was as wet as if he had been immersed. Dr. Cox and other learned immersionists took the same ground, but Mr. Carson charges them both with having given up the question, and he insists that it does express mode in this passage and ought to have been translated "immersed." He makes it a figurative immersion. Our immersionist friends have a great deal of ingenuity. If they cannot get Nebuchadnezzar immersed, they will have him as wet as if he had been immersed. Or if they cannot have him immersed literally, they will immerse him figuratively. They are resolved on having him immersed in some way. My friend Mr. Campbell, in his debate with Mr. McCullough, obtained that Nebuchadnezzar was overwhelmed in dew. This one might be tempted to think is something new under the sun, a man overwhelmed in dew. I have already turned your attention to Revelations 19:13, where bapto has been translated by the word sprinkle, but I omitted to state one important fact, namely that not only the Syriac and Latin Vulgate, but the Ethiopic, one of the most ancient and valuable versions, as Gale informs us, translate bapto in this passage to sprinkle. So carefully has my friend Mr. Campbell examined the old translation on this point. Time expired.